This is the 18th of June 1995 and I'm Valentina Bold. I'm about to interview Mrs. Scowen of Harrow about her memories of going to the cinema in the 1930s. This is our second interview.
Mine is still switched on. I've probably worn out the battery. Still got it. I've got some more batteries upstairs, but this is a new one.
I see.
It's kind of strange, actually.
It is, isn't it? Just after we were talking about that.
Yeah. He was always a bit of a soppy part player.
You know. Oh, now I see him. I recognise him.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
And there's another Howard Ronald, who was Leslie's son, as I understand it.
Hmm. That is interesting, though. They're quite alike as well, actually,
yes,
when you
is,
see
really.
It.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ronald, Leslie's son, was like him, but in rather a soft sort of way, you know. Soft sort of jowly chap.
Yeah.
I had been writing notes. It occurred to me afterwards that a lot of what I spoke about was more likely to have been 1940. A lot of it could have been. That's the difficulty I find. Incidentally, I was trying to think of Noel Coward's work. I'm daft. I've got a book over there, a Dictionary of English Literature. I thought, I wonder if there's Coward's in there. He was. The only work they mentioned was the one I wanted, Cavalcade.
Right.
And my grandmother used to call it Calvacade, and I knew it was something like that, but I couldn't remember. Anyway, I found that out, and the other one I couldn't remember, Anna Neagle's dancing partner in several films, was Michael Wilding. He was the one who married Elizabeth Taylor at once, one of her husbands. And of course, Noel Coward's, another of his films, which is very good, was Bittersweet. That was with Evelyn Lay, so it was a musical. That's got Noel Coward out of the way, anyway. So thinking back of the British films that I saw, which I'm pretty certain were in the 30s, was Disraeli, George Arliss. I loved that film. I liked all the sort of semi-historical, Henry VIII, Charles Laughton and his wife, Elsa Lanchester was in it, and Merle Oberon. Charles Laughton I once saw in the Albert Hall. He was coming out from his seat and was just walking past me. And somebody called, "Hello, Charles, do you remember me?" And he said, "Should I?" Nasty bit of work Charles Laughton was. I think he was as nasty as he looked, you know. The way he said that, "Should I?" Oh, dear. Talber. Richard Talber made some musicals. I think the one I particularly remember is Lilac Time. It was about Franz Schubert. That was... These are a few British films that were worth seeing, although I rather decried them the other day, but there were a few.
Do you think the British were particularly good at these sort of historical...
Well, I think they were good at historical,
type films.
Particularly our own history.
Yeah.
And but then there was another one that wasn't historical, The Wicked Lady, James Mason and Margaret Lockwood. They made several films together, but that's the only one that I can remember the title of. That's where you've got me is memory. I can't remember names. And then there was a film about Queen Elizabeth I, and I don't know what that was called, but Flora Robson played the leading part. I remember with Flora Robson, somebody said to her, "How do you manage to cry when you have to?" And she said, I think of the tragedy of the Thetis. That was a submarine that sank in the Irish Sea and all the crew were drowned, you know, died with it. And she thinks of that. You should think of that. And that made her cry for the part. She was a very ugly woman, Flora Robson, a very good actress. Oh, another film, 39 Steps. I read the book of that before I saw the film. Robert Donat and Madeleine Carroll.
Yes.
She was another beautiful woman. And I Was a Spy. That, I know, was the 1930s. Howard Marshall, Herbert Marshall, sorry, Madeline Carroll, and Conrad Veidt. I loved Conrad Veidt. Of course, before the war, in fact, he was a German, didn't matter, you see. And he was. When I see him now, you know, they show an old film, he's so wooden I could cry. But in those days, oh, this tall, handsome man, yeah.
Because I was going to ask you that. I mean, what sort of qualities do you think appeal to you in stars?
Well, I don't know. I didn't like the rough Yankee knockabout types. I like the Englishman, you know. Now, another great hero of mine was Clive Brook. And he made, am I going to note here what films he was in? Oh, I'm trying to remember if he was in East Lynne with Anne Harding. That was a real weeper, you know. He turned his wife out because she had an affair with somebody else. I remember looking at her son and saying, my son or something never called me mother. Oh. But Clive Brook I like, and my son is Clive, and I think that's because I like Clive Brook, and the name sort of stuck with me, you know. I made a list here, the British actors who settled more or less in Hollywood and did most of their films there, like Ronald Colman. Now, one of his films that I liked very much was, where have I got it? Down here. Lost Horizon, mm-hmm. with Jane Wyatt, where they went as rather like Tibet in the mountains, and nobody got old until they came out, and when they came out, their faces suddenly dropped. But it was a nice film. He made another film, and I can't remember the name of, with Greer Garson. It was... he lost his memory. He was called Smithy. I remember that because I was a Smith. But I can't remember the name of the film. And of course, he made Bulldog Drummond films. I read the Bulldog Drummond book, so I had to see the Bulldog Drummond film. Trouble with Ronald Colman was he had this lovely voice and he was quite good looking, but he was just so little. Little chap, you know. Who else have I got down here?
He's quite sort of similar in a lot of his films as well, isn't he? The sort of dashing...
Who?
Ronald Colman.
Oh, yes.
Sort of similar parts.
Yes, Tale of Two Cities he was in, and... trying to think what else he was...
Was he not in The Prisoner of Zenda?
The
Prisoner of Zenda.
Yeah, that's right. Don't remember who the other one was in The Prisoner of Zenda, because they were... They were twins or something, weren't they?
Yes.
Took place of each other. I can't remember the other one. Of course, Cary Grant, but I don't know if he was around in the 30s.
I think he made one or two towards the end of the 30s.
Yes, because he died recently. He was over 80, so he could have been about then. But I can't remember what the films were. Of course, Charles Laughton again, Mutiny on the Bounty. Now, I don't know whether that was the 30s or...
I think yeah. It was. Yeah.
And that, of course, that was Clark Gable as well. I liked that. Another famous one was C. Aubrey Smith, who actually was Sir C. Aubrey Smith. He was an elderly character actor. He started a cricket team in Hollywood. You know, he was the typical Englishman. He even took the cricket with him. But he spoke beautifully. Another one was Richard Green, who played, he was particularly chosen for Robin Hood, one of the first Robin Hoods. Quite a nice looking chap. I was interested in him because he was related to somebody that my brother-in-law worked with, and so we heard all about him being chosen for it, but he sort of died out. I saw him in a couple of films, but it didn't sort of go on.
Because when you say Robin Hood, I thought of Errol Flynn immediately.
Yes, well, Errol Flynn was in it. Yeah. And I had a beautiful jigsaw puzzle of Errol Flynn fighting a duel. Or something. No, it couldn't have been a duel because they wouldn't have had one then, would they? Anyway, it was a Robin Hood jigsaw. I used to do a lot of jigsaws at one time. I don't anymore, but I used to. But, I made a list of foreign actors that I like. Charles Boyer. Mm. The film he made, and I think that was in the 30s, All This and Heaven Too. I can't remember who wrote it. I think it was Rachel somebody. I read the book, but I just can't remember.
Mm. Did you often read the book first and go to the film
afterwards? No, it just happened, you know. I belonged to Boots Library at one time, and I used to get them from there. I mean, we've got our own library here, but it wasn't very good. In those days, we just had it in a school, open 2 evenings a week, you know, and it didn't happen to suit you those evenings, you didn't get there. Another film, and I think Boyer was in, was Mailing. That was about the, it was a true story of, Austro-Hungarian prince or count or something, and had an affair with this woman, and they shot themselves, or somebody shot them, in this lodge at Mailing. And I think that was Boyer. Another chaplain, I hardly ever hear of, I liked him, was Carl Brisson. I think he was a Swede or a Dane or something like that. He was Scandinavian of some sort. And he sang a song, I Wear a Little White Gardenia. And I can still sort of hear him singing it. And I think it was that that attracted me to him in the film. He was blonde, quite attractive. He made one or two films, but sort of lost him. And there was Anton Walbrook in Gaslight, where he was trying to make his wife think she was going mad, you know, stole things, hid things, and put the lights out. I liked him. I saw him in a film, I suppose it was made actually just at the beginning of 1940, where he was a pianist and he'd been flying the Battle of Britain. Something Moonlight, Dangerous Moonlight, I think it was. But whether that's 39 or 40, I don't know, but it's... Well, you know, if it was flying in the war, it must have been 40. Mm-hmm. Another singer I liked, and he didn't make many films, was Jan Kipura. He was a Polish tenor. And I saw him at the Albert Hall when he came over and did a concert. And I can't remember the names of the films he was in, but I liked him. And there was Anna Sten, and I saw her, picture of her on television the other night. She was a Russian actress, supposed to be rather the Garbo type. And she made a film called Nana, which was written by a Frenchman, I can't remember his name, which French author it was. But she sort of didn't make it. She did one or two films and then disappeared. And of course there was Dietrich, who I didn't like actually.
What was it about her?
She was... her acting was so obvious, the way she used to sort of flutter her eyelids, you know, and look up. She always apparently spent her life trying to be beautiful, and you got that impression, you know.
Do you think you liked the more... Because when you mention Madeleine Carroll, I mean, she's one of... She doesn't have so many years or...
No, I liked her because she was a gym mistress or something at Birmingham before she became an actress. And I think she was a dancer too. And she used to like... I remember her reading that she liked to have her hair in one big, deep wave, and she always did. She's a good-looking woman. I liked her. I don't know that she's a very great actress, but I was not very... critical in those days. I like people for themselves very often, but their acting really... It's only later, when you look back and see these old films, you realise how stilted they were. And of course the camera work wasn't so good as it is nowadays.
I mean, as you say, someone like Madeleine Carroll, there's a certain quality about her that appeals, I think.
Yes, yeah. I liked her very much. Now, what else have I written down here? Oh, I put down a list of the American actresses that I liked. Oh, I've gone on the English one. I didn't mention Basil Rathbone, Hounds of the Baskervilles, and oh, he was in a lot of films, and he was always nasty. He got that sort of face. He couldn't really be very nice, but he was a good actor. And then the women I remember in American films, Joan and Constance Bennett were sisters. Constance was rather long more of a glamour puss than Joan. Wasn't as a good actress, and she went around marrying all sorts of different people, counts and things. And Margaret Sullavan, I can't remember the film she was in. She was dying of cancer in it, I remember that. But I liked her. She was in several films, but I really can't remember what they were called. Then Marion Davis, who was supposed to be very funny, but never really amused me. She was a bit of a scatterbrain, you know, because she lived with Randolph Hearst, the newspaper man. Carol Lombard, I like her. She was did a light touch. And she actually marry Clark Gable? I think she did. And then she was killed in an air crash, and it nearly finished him. Anita Page was a name that struck me the other day. She was in a lot of these sort of Joan Crawford type films as the second supporting actress, you know. And Faye Ray in King Kong. I didn't like that. I never liked anything that was at all horrific. And you've got this great big animal on the top of the building holding her in his hand, you know. No. Katharine Hepburn, Philadelphia Story. I thought she was most odd when I saw her in that. She had this strange, rather tinny voice, and she was never a brute beauty, but she was an interesting sort of face. I mean, of course, she's a good actress, and I liked her later on, but I suppose that's more the 40s, when she acted with Spencer Tracy, because they lived together for years. Another one here, silly, I can't remember the name, Myrna Loy and William somebody.
William Powell.
Powell. I could not think what it was, in the Thin Man series.
The little dog and...
That's right, yeah. I liked Myrna Loy when she started doing the films like that. Before that, she was always made up as an Asian or something, her eyes tilted up, and sort of Chinese parts. But once she became normal, because she subsequently became quite a politician. She was a governor of anywhere, but she was very much involved in politics in America. Dolores del Rio. I think she was Mexican or something like that. And I remember my father taking me to see her in Resurrection, which was a Russian tragedy, and I don't know which Russian author that was, but we saw it under the arches near Charing Cross Station. I was in town with my father and he took me to see that. Ooh, I was young and I found it very depressing. And my father and my parents lived in Russia for a while, and I suppose that's why he was interested, you see. And took me there. And the other one I didn't like was Mae West. And again, I don't know the names of her films, but I didn't care for her very much. She again was too artificial. Apparently to her dying day she was artificial, because she wore masks and all sorts of things, so she didn't look any different. And Barbara Stanwyck. I read somewhere that she had a most beautiful face, but I could never see it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a face I liked particularly. I suppose with beauty you've got to have a certain distance between your eyes, and your nose has got to be a certain distance. All balanced up, she was probably all right, but the expression, I think, spoiled her. But I can't remember what I saw her in the old days, but I know I saw her a lot. I remember cutting pictures of her out and sticking our albums, and that was before the war, we were doing that.
Did she not get married to Robert Taylor?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. And of course he died. I don't know whether they were still married when he died. Did she die recently?
I'm not sure. I think she might have, actually.
She may have done. She must have been pretty old. What else we got here? I'll come back to the men. James Stewart, he was coming up in the 30s, and I liked him. And I can't remember the name of a film that I particularly liked him in, but it was one similar to one that Gary Cooper made, which was called Mr. Deeds Comes to Town, with Jean Arthur. And I liked that. And James Stewart made a similar sort of title, but I can't think what it was.
It's not that... The one that I really liked with James Stewart was Destry Rides Again. when he says the sheriff, and he's very gentle. And
yeah, I think I saw that in Blackpool when I was up there. And so that would have been the end of 1939, running into the borders. Gary Cooper, again, pretty wooden when you come to think of it.
He was no...
He wasn't particularly handsome either, but he sort of had something about him, I don't know what it was. Francho Tone used to be in the Joan Crawford films, and I think he married her at one time, but then he became alcoholic or something. He faded out, but I liked him. He was humorous. And Robert Montgomery, now he was really one of my pals. I thought he was lovely. One film he made about a prison, it wasn't Alcatraz, but it was something like that, where he was a coward. It was very, very unusual part for him, but I liked it. You know. I can't think of the others that he was in, because there were so many, I always went to see him. And Robert Young was another one. He made a series, was it Claudia? No. Actually, I've got the book upstairs. Something like that. George Brent. Remember George Brent? Oh, he was quite a big, handsome man. I think he was Irish, actually. He made a film, which I think was called Dark Victory, with Bette Davis, where she had a brain tumour, and she went blind. I remember her doing some gardening, saying, "Oh, the sun's gone in, isn't it getting dark, you see, because the sight was just going." And that scene impressed itself on my eldest sister, who subsequently went blind and died of a brain tumour. After cancer, it was a secondary, and that was what finished her. She had an operation brain tumour, and she didn't get over it. And she went blind too, so it's rather strange that. Humphrey Bogart. Petrified Forest with Leslie Howard and Ida Lupino. It was one of the Lupino family who went over to America, and Jules acted there. I don't know if she made any films here, but that was interesting, that Petrified Forest. And Paul Muni was another one I used to like, in Scarface, and Louis Pasteur, and I think he made several others about well-known people like Pasteur. I can't remember exactly. Just trying to think, who was in the film about, the first discovery, radium, famous woman who discovered it.
Marie Curie.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to remember who played the part of that, but it was a film that I enjoyed. I can't remember who it was. Its memory is awful. Orson Welles, Citizen Kane. Now, I don't know whether that was in the 30s. I think it, probably at the end of it.
Just
if
at
it
the
is,
end, I think, yes.
With Joseph Cotton, who I like very much. I never liked Orson Welles, but I saw that. Another one was Joel McCrae. I think he was at one time married to Fay Wray. He made several westerns. Again, he was a man who didn't sort of have any impact on me. Johnny Weissmuller in Tarzan with Maureen O'Sullivan, who's the mother of Mia Farrow.
I didn't know that.
Yes. She married a man named somebody Farrow, Howard Farrow or some such name. And Mia was the daughter. I saw Maureen O'Sullivan in lots of things, but I remember the Tarzan one in particular.
Oh, that's interesting, because I wouldn't have noticed a similarity.
You didn't know.
Quite sort of different
types. Yeah, really, yes. And you see a picture of Maureen O'Sullivan now, she looks really quite old. Mm. Talking people looking old, there was a British actress, Chilli Boucher. And I saw her the other night on television in Michael Barrymore's program. God, that woman's her face was covered with makeup. And then I realised who she was. Well, she must be a lot older than I am. And there she was, still going strong. Spencer Tracy, I always liked him. I didn't like him in the early days because he used to play the sort of wisecracking reporters, and he wasn't my type. But I liked him as he matured and made better films later on. And the Charlie Chan series with Warner Oland, who I think was Danish or Swedish or something like that, but he was always made up as a Chinese, you know, and just talk about my number one son who used to do all his devilling for him.
Because there's a similar series as well. I noticed one was on the television the other day. Is it Mr. Moto? Or?
Oh yes, that's right. That was with the little chap, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Peter
Lorre.
Lorre.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. He was a funny little man. I remember him in... Did I make a note of it? I'm going to note of it somewhere. The thing with Sydney Greenstreet and I think Humphrey Bogart's Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yes.
And I think that was one of a series. What's that page? The musical aspect that I liked, 42nd Street, with Ruby Keeler, who was married to Al Jolson for some time. She was a dancer. She wasn't particularly, not really much of a glamour girl in my opinion. She was rather homely looking, but she was a good dancer.
Ginger Rogers was in that as well, wasn't she? But not in a...
I suppose
part.
She probably was, yes.
I think she was one of the chorus.
Yes, yeah. Deanna Durbin. I can't remember the names of her films. I remember one of her riding along singing on a bicycle, a whole lot of schoolgirls going on a bicycle. But I can't remember what it was called, but I saw quite a lot of hers. And then she gave up. I suspect that they used her voice too soon. And I suspect that as she matured, the voice didn't, you know, she'd overdone it. Mm. And she married a Frenchman and moved to France.
Because she made a big long series, didn't she? There were three smart girls and...
Yeah, that's right, that's the one I'm thinking of, three smart girls, but they're on the bicycle.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm trying to think of the conductor who was conducting the music when she stood up and sang. A man who was an Englishman changed his name to a foreign name, but I can't remember what it was now. Shirley Temple. I didn't really like her all that much. She was too precocious, you know. Been a pretty little thing. She remember her dancing with a tall chap, and I can't think of his name, but he was it was a sort of Scandinavian name, I think. Buddy Ebsen, no, something like that. Something similar to that. I want another biscuit, help yourself. Film I like was Walt Disney's Fantasia, which you would like to call it. That has some lovely music in it. Yeah, and I remember going up to town to see that. When that was made, I don't know. If I saw it in town, chances are that it was in the 40s, because I was back from Blackpool then working in town. So it could have been. And of course, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, that was the 30s, I would think.
Yeah.
That was different. I mean, we hadn't been used to things like that. Irene Dunne, she sang in some of her films. She's a nice looking woman. She was in a film with Charles Boyer, and she got killed by a bus or something at the end. I can't remember the details. Of course, Charles Boyer committed suicide, you know. He shot himself. His son died or something, and then he shot himself. And then, of course, there's MacDonald and Nelson Eddy, we mentioned the other day, and Alan Jones, who's also with Janet MacDonald. And Betty Hutton, I think she was the one who made the song Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend famous. She was very lively, you know, peculiar. Big bands. Paul Whiteman, that's the name. I've been trying to think of it. I like films with him in it because I don't know, his music interested me. That's the music. and these are all Janine Steinbeck stories, of Mice and Men. I think it was Lon Chaney Jr. in that, because Lon Chaney, his father, made the Hunchback of Notre Dame originally, and Charles Laughton, I think, made it later. But I saw the original one with Lon Chaney, who I gather died very much as a result of all the things that had been done to his body to make films like that, you know, they damaged him. Grapes of Wrath, that was a Steinbeck film. That, I'm not sure when that was. It was all about the Midwest, I think. Marx Brothers. Now, I couldn't stand them. They never made me laugh. I thought they were so contrived, and the Groucho, oh, I think he's terrible. There are a lot of people that are wonderful. George Raft and Edward G. Robinson. George Raft looked more like a dancer than an actor. He was usually had nasty parts as a gangster or something. I didn't like him. We had trouble with him over here. He wanted to come over here a few years ago and start a nightclub or something. But I think they thought he was something to do with mafia. He didn't get the permission. Edward G. Robinson, for years I thought he was a Red Indian descendant. He wasn't. He was a Romanian. But he was quite a good actor. Here's another man who was too small. Mm-hmm. Didn't look impressive. Another film, Invisible Man, I can't remember who was in that. But that was certainly in the 30s, and I think there were two or three of those. And I saw them, this man all wrapped up in bandages because you couldn't see him unless he was. The Barrymore family. I liked all of them. They were excellent. Ethel, the sister, and John, and who was the other one? The old one.
Lionel.
Yeah. That's right. John Barrymore was supposed to have such a wonderful profile, so handsome. Couldn't see it myself. It didn't appeal to me like Conrad Veidt did.
Yeah.
But he made a film, Grand Hotel, which was supposed to be quite a big film, you know, was going to make a fortune. I don't know if it ever did. With Garbo, and I think Dietrich was in it too. People, all sorts of different parts interlocking, you know. Another film I liked, and again I can't remember who was in it, was Double Indemnity.
Mm-hmm.
He's an English actor, and I can't think of his name, and I'm not sure when it was made, but it was about a man who got away with one murder and got hanged for one he didn't do, or something like that. And Our Gang. I couldn't stand Our Gang. We used to get them thrown in as a sort of an odd part of the programme, with Mickey Rooney. And Mickey Rooney was all right, but some of the others were pretty dreadful. So that's my recollections as far as I can go.
It's amazing. I mean, when you mention all these stars as well, it's...
Yes, I wish I could remember more of the names of the films. And I should probably... Oh, another English actor who went to America, and again, I didn't think much of him. I think he's one of our first knighted actors, Sir Cedric Hardwicke. Mm. He was straight-faced, expressionless, and always the same, I thought. But he's supposed to be a great actor, but he wasn't my cup of tea at all. I'm trying to remember... Dickens... the name of the famous Dickens book. A young boy.
Not Nicholas Dickens.
silly because, I mean, this is something I know so well. I mean, it's infuriating.
I know exactly what you mean. It's just
trouble.
Dickens. David Copperfield.
And there was his aunt or something who'd been jilted. And I think she lived for the rest of her life in the wedding dress that she was going to wear, in rooms full of swathes of cobwebs and things all around her. Edna May Oliver. She was a tall, fearsome looking woman, but she was very good. And David Copperfield, of course, was our little chap, who was subsequently in a film with Spencer Tracy. Oh dear, 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 dear. He was an English boy, pretty curly hair. I can't remember it, but I know I liked the film. And I suppose Edna May Oliver was in it. I suppose that was an American film. The trouble was, in the sort of 40s, I suppose it was, that the Americans started making films here with our some of our cast and some of theirs, and it got a bit confused. You weren't sure whether you're watching a British film or an American film. But that was later, I think, than the 30s. Mm. The 30s, they were all still making a fortune in their MGM and United Artists and places and people like that. Got everybody under contract that they couldn't break, because Bette Davis had trouble over that. But, I think it's about all I can remember of my childhood, as you might say. I don't know where we'd have been without films, because when you went to work, you got something to talk about, you know, or at school, you chatted about these films. And all had your own favourites. And as I say, I didn't go to the theatre much. My sister, my middle sister, didn't go to grammar school as my eldest sister did, and I did, because she was very nervous, she couldn't pass exams, and she was always very conscious of the fact that she didn't go to grammar school. But she worked at the Prudential in Holborn, and she used to go to the Old Vic and see a lot of the Shakespeare plays. Now, I went to school where we had to learn Shakespeare. We had great lengths of it at the weekend, and I've hated Shakespeare ever since. But she didn't have that, and she used to go and she used to enjoy all the British actors, you know, making their names in Shakespeare, like John Gilbert and people like that. But if you have it pushed into you, as we did at school, it puts you right on. And for the same reason, I never really liked Dickens when it came to reading, and they were too depressing. And again, we had to do it for schoolwork. My sister used to go to opera too, Chandler's Wells and places like that. I used to go and sit in a queue, you know, have a stool and sit there for hours at a time to get up in the gods. They couldn't afford anything better than that. But she thoroughly enjoyed all that. So perhaps there are some things to be said for not having a grammar education. But she was always very conscious that she hadn't been properly educated. And my grandmother used to tell her so, which wasn't very fair, but eat to her dying day, she used to sort of say, oh, well, of course, I expect you to know that. And I didn't go to grammar school. It's so silly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting when you say that, because I was wondering about how you felt when you were seeing films. I mean, I know, for instance, I had quite a hard weekend, so I went to a film and all the trouble seemed to sort of recede for a couple of hours. I wondered if it was like that for you, or if you got something different from it.
I don't know. I mean, we just had nothing else to do. And it wasn't expensive if you could go and sit in the front row for ninepence. That's why I was very glad when they opened the Odeon down here, because we didn't even have to add bus fares onto it. Whereas to go to the Dominion or the Granada in Harrow or the Embassy in North Harrow and the Majestic in Wembley, we had bus fares. And I know it was only about tuppence each way in those days, but that added up. And I was only, I'll tell you, when I started work, I was only earning 28 and 6 a week. And that soon went up to 31 shillings, which these days sounds utterly ridiculous. But you certainly couldn't afford to lash out on theatre tickets, and the cinema gave you an interest, and you learnt all about what was going on in America, which was a far away place. And, another film I was had forgotten that I enjoyed, and I'm not sure, I think that was the 1930s, Edith Cavell. You know, she was shot as a spy by the Germans, having helped a lot of the British to get away. I'm trying to remember, was that Anna Neagle? Of course, Anna Neagle was in a Queen Victoria thing too. They puffed her face out to look like Queen Victoria, and her voice was so funny because she was sort of speaking through all these massive cotton wool. But it was interesting again because it was our world, you know. But I did like to see the Americans because they got so much money, or they apparently, according to the films, you know. The women were always dressed in furs and fancy hats and lived in lovely homes and got refrigerators. I mean, we hadn't got a refrigerator. You saw things that, you know, you probably wouldn't remember a time when people didn't have refrigerators. But where I used to live down the road, we had a very nice larder that was on the back of the house, away from the sun, with marble slabs and a stone floor, and a walk-in larder. I didn't really need a refrigerator, except we used to have something to keep the milk cool. We used to have a special thing over the milk. But, I mean, I didn't have a refrigerator until, well, after I was married. We didn't even have electricity down at that house until 1938. Mm-hmm. So I built up in a house full of gas light and oil lamps and things. And we had an oil lamp in the kitchen. We lived with my grandparents, and they weren't going to spend money having electricity put in. We had it done in the end. But then you went to the cinema, and people switching lights on and opening fridges and hoovering. It was a different world. And I think it made us all a bit more ambitious. I think we all tried to dress a bit better and tried to do our hair a bit better as far as we were able to do it. And I think this goes on now. I mean, the adverts on television make people want things that they didn't think they needed, you know. I remember hearing a woman talking on television about, she was an unmarried mother, I think, trying to live on her benefit. She said, well, the nappies cost me £6 something a time, you know, these Pampers thing. Well, in my day, we didn't waste money like that. We bought the toweling nappies and we washed the damn things, and it wasn't much fun, I can tell you, but they've got to have it because it's advertised on television and seen in films and that. And so much we saw in films that nylon stockings and things like that we heard of before we ever saw them. Here we were darning lisle and silk and whatnot during the war because we had to have coupons to buy more, yeah. And I suppose particularly during the war it took us out of ourselves. We forgot that we were living on rations. We're seeing these I remember women in films making aspic, and I thought, what the heck's aspic? It's only a meat jelly, you know. But they were, you learnt things. You saw tables nicely laid. Mind you, I was always taught to lay a table nicely anyway, because my mother was like that. But I mean, I wouldn't put a milk bottle on the table or anything like that, but a lot of people do. But I'm sure that seeing films, you take them in, as long as they're nice films, you can improve your outlook. What I don't like is the things like Clockwork Orange and that, which encourage youngsters to do unspeakable things, in my opinion. That's why I think one reason I've lost interest in films, because so many of them are rather unpleasant. And nowadays, I mean, you had Joan Crawford, Norma Shearer, and that. They were nice films. With Norma Shearer, the Barretts of Wimpole Street. Now, I don't know when that was made, but that was... Who was the father of the Barretts of Wimpole Street? Was that Charles Laughton?
I think it might have been, yes. Rather stern.
Yes, I think it was. And we saw one or two films of again, I can't remember. The young couple went round killing and robbing in America. And it was a true story. What were their names? But you just saw something that really happened. As I said, I like the historical ones for that reason, because they happened. There's something I have never seen, and that wasn't the 1930s anyway, was Peter O'Toole in the desert thing, Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen that. It was on television one night, and it was just starting, and suddenly the screen went all like that, all wobbly. And what had happened, I'd had a plant on top of the, it was a wider television than this one, had a plant on the top and I'd watered it, and it had run up out of the back, down the back of the television set. And it didn't surprisingly, didn't wreck the set. They were able to, they borrowed my hairdryer to dry it out. But that's about all I've ever seen of Lawrence of Arabia, was just starting and all this water coming down the screen. So don't ever have a plant on top of your television. It's dangerous. But, I suppose we modelled ourselves very much on, or tried to, on these film stars. And what I don't like is the way that their names have been used here. I mean, all the Traces and the Darrens and things like that. I prefer the ordinary names, although I talk about Clive Brockman. I like the name Clive. It was a long time ago.
This is really interesting what you're saying about learning.
Yes.
From the.
Well, I think you do. It's an impressionable age,
yeah.
You see. We were in our teens and we were seeing things that we didn't have here. Say, like refrigerators. I didn't know many people who had a refrigerator. I didn't know many people who had a car. Mm. And yet there you saw people like Mickey Rooney dashing around in a jalopy, as he called it. And they could afford it. And of course, we saw a lot of their football, which I think is atrocious, but we did see it, and we did know what they were doing. And another film I liked very much was Northwest Passage. Now, I don't know whether that was 1930s. That was Spencer Tracy. Mm. I mean, that was very interesting, because it was a historical thing, how they tried to find a way through. I enjoyed that. I like quite a lot of the snowy films that used to take place in Alaska and places like that. And of course California seemed a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty awful now, because in Los Angeles you can't breathe for smog, and Hollywood, I gather, is pretty tatty.
Mm-hmm.
The days of the wealth have gone. You think what the people were earning then, and the marvellous homes they lived in. But our day, that was wonderful. So we'd like to go there. And I remember seeing all the scenes in New York of people sitting out on the... They had these awful tenements, and people sitting out on the front steps because it was so hot, and running the... hydrants to wash themselves. Apparently they've just had to stop that in America. They've had to cap the hydrants because people are just wasting water. Mm. They've had a terrible heat wave there, you know, this very recent, this last week or so. and they had hydrants being used for people to cool down, and so they've had to stop that as they're running out of water. But I see these old tenements, and you think what people were willing to take on when they went over to America from Europe and lived in these pretty awful places, all on top of each other, all higgledy-piggledy, and sitting out on the front, and a lot of them were coloureds. I shouldn't say it, but I'm not keen on the coloureds, and then, in those days, we sort of felt they were kept in their place, because they're not here now. We've got to put up with them. But I don't think we've ever mixed with them myself properly. It's interesting to see. And Ellis Island, now, I'd never heard of Ellis Island until I went to the cinema. And there were these immigrants coming to Ellis Island being checked through. And I saw one or two old films of, and I don't remember the names, of people sailing across, packed in their thousands in these boats to get across there cheaply, you know. A lot of them died on the way, various epidemics and things. And I used to like the, and I still do, the hospital films. Now, I don't know when they were made, Richard Chamberlain and, Dr.
Kildare.
Kildare, yes. I'm trying to think of the old man, famous English actor, who's Massey, Raymond Massey. But when that was made, I don't know, but there were several of them, and we used to put them on television too. And of course, Raymond Massey's daughter is Anna Massey, who's still an actress here, and Daniel Massey, his son, who I gather is struggling against cancer at the moment, very ill. But, I like the hospital films, not because I wanted to see people being ill, but it's quite interesting. And I mean, I watched Casualty on television, and pretty bloody sometimes, you know. I say to myself, oh, well, it's only ketchup. See the blood pouring down them. They were interesting. Incidentally, when the South Harrow Odeon opened, they opened with De Fledermaus. And that was lovely. I always remember that. It was a great occasion, you see, opening the Odeon, and did it with a style. And I always remember enjoying that. I can't remember who was in it.
Did they have any big stars to open it? Or?
I don't remember. No. I honestly don't remember. I imagine somebody must have done, but I don't remember it. I know we're all amazed at the name Odeon. What? How do you pronounce that? Odeon? Odeon? Because apparently there was a French theatre with that name. I imagine it was originally Greek, I don't know. One of the old Greek names. But we thought this was most extraordinary, because I mean, we got used to Dominions and Majestics and all sorts of funny names, but Odeon was something quite new, and we've got it in South Harrow. Oh dear. And I liked that little cinema. It was very small, but it was comfortable and handy. Plenty of room for queues outside. We used to queue a lot. Couldn't afford to pay. Sometimes there would be seats in the higher prices, and we couldn't afford to pay. And you're standing in the queue, perhaps two or three of you together, and they come along saying, "A seat for one. Anybody want one seat?" You know, the question was, do we break up and go in or not? Yeah. But of course, I don't know anybody queues for cinemas anymore. In the old days, if you really wanted to see a big film, you went up to town, because it was months before it ever came out here. Yeah, they had it running in Leicester Square and places like that for months. And if you really wanted to see it, you had in a hurry to see it, you'd have to go out there. Nowadays, it seems to me that they sort of come out everywhere almost at once. Mm-hmm. Well, people can't afford to go to town, I wouldn't think. When you consider, if you're going up from here to town and you have to pay your train fare, which I don't, I think it's about £3 return.
Yes.
And then you've got the theatres, or the cinema seats are jolly expensive. They probably find that they're going to make money out of the film. They've got to push it out quickly into the suburbs. But I cannot remember when I last went to a cinema. Probably on holiday in Bournemouth or something. We did see something in Swanage 15 years ago. Probably the last time I went to a cinema. Mm. I did go and see some of the better films on my own after I gave up work. Why can't I remember the names? Audrey Hepburn thing. She was the little flower girl trained to be a lady.
Yes. My Fair Lady.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, I went to see that. I went to the Dominion to see that all by myself. Rex Harrison is another of our actors, and pre-war, just about, I would think. And his wife, Liddy Palmer, or one of his wives. I quite liked him when he was light and amusing. He had a sort of style with him. I gather he again wasn't a very nice person. Mm-hmm. You hear about these people when they die. But I liked him, and he was going for a jolly long time. And Hyde White, who was also in My Fair Lady, can't think of his Christian name. But he was rather rigid, but he was quite a nice actor. I don't know who else I think of.
I did bring along, remember I was saying I had some film books in the 30s that I thought you might be interested in seeing. Is this one from 1938? It's a Daily Express book.
I bet I had that. That's Norma Shearer, yes. And Norma Shearer was not beautiful. She had a slight squint, and she had to have all her teeth capped.
Oh.
Because she had... Oh, dear. Vivian Leigh. Goodness me, doesn't she look young there. I liked her. There again, she was a bit old. Virginia Bruce, yes, I remember her. Gene Raymond, yes. Now, he was in... Oh, there's a picture of him with Jenny McDonald there. Oh, he married her, didn't he? Yes. Mm. I liked him. Dorothy L'Amour didn't have any effect on me at all. Louise Rayner, that's the one I was thinking of. The Good Earth. It was a film I mentioned just now, and I couldn't think who was in it, and I can't remember what the film was now. And I think she was in it. I liked her. And there's Janet Gaynor, who I saw, I was mentioning last time, with Charles Farrell. Seventh Heaven they made. Jean Arthur, I mentioned her, Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. Tom Walls, now they were the pretty awful British films. Tom Walls and Jane Baxter. Gosh, Spencer Tracy looked young there. Misha Auer, yeah. Saw him in many, many films. Carol Lombard. Virginia Gray. Joan Bennett, I remember all these people. I don't remember Marla Shelton, I never heard of her. Oh, it's behind the scenes.
Were you interested in the sort of technical side of film in the 30s, or was
particularly, yeah. I don't think I really understood what was going on, you know. I told you I had an uncle who used to make the scenery, but I didn't know very much about it. Tyrone Power, that was another one I was going to mention. Lloyds of London, was it? He made... Yes, Lloyds of London. He was such a pretty boy. And Lloyds of London was another semi-historical one, didn't he? He died of a heart attack. Gary Cooper. Oh, there's Francois Tone, is it? Left. No, it wasn't. There. It was Barry Barnes in Scarlet Pimpernel. I like the Scarlet Pimpernel series. Leslie Howard was in one of those. Leslie Banks. He was a funny man. He got a funny face. He was damaged in the First War. His face blown up or something. And he sort of had a line like that. And that side he looked like one man, and that side he looked like another. Most peculiar. And I remember I was living in Blackpool, and my sister came up, and we went to the theatre, and Leslie Banks was on the stage. And she said, "He's got a funny face, hasn't he?" And I said, "I can't see it." She said, "Try my glasses." And then I could see it, and that's when I realised I needed glasses. And that's when I first had them was in Blackpool, because having seen it with her glasses on, I thought, my goodness, what have I been missing? And because of Leslie Banks' funny face. Ray Milland, that's who I was thinking of, Double Indemnity.
Ah, yes. Did you like these sort of courtroom dramas?
Oh, yes, very much. Mm. And of course, I liked all the series on television of... oh, the big fat man.
Oh, yes.
Just died.
And I know the chap you mean.
Yeah, can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Raymond Burr is his name.
It,
but
yes.
I can't think of the... Oh, this come. Deanna Durbin there, looking very young. Loretta Young. Now, I had a friend who looked just like Loretta Young.
Oh.
She was with a friend who used to cut out photographs with me, and she liked Marlene Dietrich. But she was awfully like Loretta Young to look at.
Did she make the most of that? Did she try and...
Well, I don't think she did very much. Errol Flynn. I never liked Errol Flynn.
What was it that put you off with Errol Flynn?
The actors who's died. I can't think of his name now. It doesn't tell you. Oh, sorry, you've got your coat. You could put it on the sofa.
That's okay, I was going to put this in the pocket.
Oh, there's Anton Walbrook. Michael Strogoff. He was the Prince Consort of Victoria the Great.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Joan Blondell, I saw her on television the other night, a bit of an old film. I wasn't watching it, but I just happened to see her. Oh, Leanne and Eagle parts. Goodnight Vienna, with Jack Buchanan. I like that. Again, Jack Buchanan sang Goodnight Vienna on about... three different keys. He was a terrible singer. I don't know how he got away with it. The Flag Lieutenant, that was pretty awful. Little Damsel. Bittersweet, that was 1933, yes, that was the Noel Coward one I mentioned. Peg of Old Drury, remember that. And Victoria the Great was 1937, so it was in the 30s. You know, I had quite a lot of these books given to me to sell in a jumble sale.
Mm.
Didn't half go. One man took the lot.
Bet.
Gracie Fields. Now, she was one I... she had a nice singing voice, but as an actress, she was pretty awful. I mean, the film she was in was dreadful. And the same with George Formby. I quite liked his general act. Mm. But he was no actor.
Mm.
And there's Robert Taylor. He was lovely. I used to like to see him. Oh, there's Robert Montgomery. Night Must Fall. Yes, I saw Night Must Fall. That's he was a murderer, wasn't he, in Night Must Fall? Can't remember the details, but... His daughter's just died, Elizabeth Montgomery.
Hmm.
She was in the series of... She was a witch. Bewitched. But she's just died of something or other. It's the trouble, everybody's getting old. Oh, Clark Gable at his best. Elizabeth Allen. I remember Elizabeth Allen in British films. She was, again, not much of an actress, and she had a tremendously long neck. And she was always rather prim. And they all spoke so nicely, the English actresses. You know, they'd been trained to speak just so. I don't think it did them any good. Robert Donat, he was an attractive man, and I thought. Mm. Night Without Armour, Marlene Dietrich. Yes, I saw that. Mm.
Was it Robert Donat that was in the 39 Steps? Mm-hmm. Was it Robert Donat
yes,
in the 39
Steps?
Steps?
Yes.
Oh, he was great.
He was unlucky. He had asthma.
Oh.
Yes, Robert Montgomery again. Oh. I don't know why I was so attracted to him, but I thought he was lovely. Sonia Heaney. Now, that was something. We didn't know anything about skating, although I used to go skating before the war. Not that I could skate, but I used to go. And of course the Sonia Heaney films were exciting to see them pirouetting around on the ice.
Was there somewhere around here to go skating?
Yes, Wembley.
Of course.
Wembley and Richmond. We didn't go to Richmond, we went to Wembley. And I used to go with the next door neighbour and her husband and one of their nephews who was my boyfriend for a while. And I used to hire my skates in those days. I did have a pair in the end, but I was never any good. Oh, there's Raymond Massey. Their name I couldn't think of. And Valerie Hobson. She was another very plain woman. And she, of course, was married to John Profumo. It still is, as far as I know. And Wallace Beery. Here's another one I was going to mention. Wallace Beery and Noah, his brother, and there was Noah Beery Jr., I think it was. But he was a rough old lot, but he was a good actor. Quite a lot of westerns and that sort of film. Well, Irene Dunne, there we are, with Cary Grant. So this is
1938, I think.
Yes, 38.
Yeah.
So Cary Grant was about then. Mm-hmm. And with Irene Dunne in Theodora Goes Wild, I don't remember that. Nova Pilbeam. Remember Nova Pilbeam, the English actress? She was... I can't remember if she got into films because her father was in the business mm-hmm. or something. There's Ronald Coleman. Handsome Beast. Constance Bennett and Brian Ahern. Brian Ahern was another one I liked. And he had a brother. Now, what was his brother's name? Brian and... can't remember. Benita Granville. She was a bitch. Do you remember? In the American films. Absolutely nasty, bitchy child parts and young woman parts. You know. She was horrible. W.C. Fields. Now, I never liked him very much. He was supposed to be very funny, but wasn't on my wavelength. Jane Withers. Yes, I remember her. Now, there's David Niven. And Paul Lucas. Paul Lucas was a Hungarian with a rather fascinating accent. He never had a leading part, but he was always quite good. Charlie Ruggles. I remember him. He was funny. Of Human Hearts. Anything like that. Beulah Bondi and James Stewart. So there's James Stewart was certainly about then. And Jezebel. I remember that with Bette Davis and Henry Fonda and George Brent. There is George Brent. Oops! I can't get up. That was George
yes.
Brent. I liked him.
Is that the one where she wears the red dress to the ball and her reputation is lost?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Warner Baxter saw him in many, many films, usually a sort of supporting part.
He's not unlike Ronald Coleman, is he?
A heavier version, yeah. But he was American, I think. Mm. Kay Francis. I always felt something ought to have been done about her eyebrows. Mm. They were sort of right low down over her eyes. She always looked a bit peculiar, to my way of thinking. Vesla Roth, that was Elsa Lanchester, and Charles Laughton. They were married, but nobody ever knew why, because he was homosexual anyway. Powell, I liked him, Dick Powell. He died of cancer. John Clements, British actor, he was quite interesting. Gracie Allen and George Burns, I quite like them, she was funny. You see, Gracie Fields was no beauty, was she?
No.
With that great long jaw, and she never looked to me like the heroine that she was had to play. Rosalie, I remember that, Eleanor Powell and Nelson Eddy. Eleanor Powell was a good dancer. Yes, now that's the other Robin Hood. Mm.
Basil Rathbone was in that, wasn't he? He was bad sheriff or something.
There's old Herbert Marshall. Mm-hmm. Diana Durbin. 100 Men and a Girl. Oh. Yeah. The Great Garrick. I remember something about that. That was Brian Ahern again. Yes. There he is. Joan Bennett. No, Constance. No, it's Joan. Mm. It is Joan. And Henry Fonda. I never liked Henry Fonda very much. I don't know why. Here we are, Jack Buchanan and Maurice Chevalier in the same film. Mm. Frederick March. Frederick March, another one I didn't like. There's Jesse Matthews. He was all prunes and prisons as he was talking. And there's Claudette Colbert, I was saying the other day, I didn't care very much for her. Well, I never thought she was particularly... Well, she certainly wasn't sexy, didn't try to make out she was. Shirley Temple. Alice Faye. Yes, I remember her. She was in 42nd Street too, I think. And Tyrone Power. Tavarish, I remember that with Boyer. The Seven Dwarfs. Adventures of Marco Polo, I saw that. Oh, what a dreadful picture of Boyer. Horrible. Barbara Stanley, there's the beautiful face. Can't see it. No good.
I see what you mean. There's something a bit sort of stiff and unnatural about her.
Didn't have a lot of life in it.
No.
Joan Fontaine, she was the sister of Olivia de Havilland. Or half-sister, I think. There's Valerie Hobson again. Anne Todd, I remember her a lot in British films.
The gowns are really beautiful, aren't they?
Yes, so that was another thing. You saw these beautiful gowns in films that you'd never see here. And there's Loretta Young again, look like my friend. Claudette again. There's Joel McRae. And I said I thought he'd married a Fay Wray. He was. No, Francis D. Francis D, who looked like Fay Wray, that was it. That was Joel McRae anyway. And Mr. and Mrs. Ray Milland. Fred Astaire. Myrna Loy married Arthur Hornblow. Mm. And she later became a politician. Cagney. Didn't like his looks. He had a sister who used to be in some films, and she looked very much like him. How the stars keep those figures, but now they've got them in the first place. Robert Montgomery again. Henry Wilcoxon, he was an Englishman who went over to America and made his name there.
George Formby.
Nova Pilbeam again. Don Ameche, he had died recently.
He did, didn't he? Because he was making films.
Yes,
right
he was.
Up till very recently.
Oh, yes. Paul Muni. Azola, yes, I saw that. Life of Emile Zola. You know who he reminds me of? Sampras, the tennis player.
So he does, yes.
So you're getting uncomfortable.
No, I'm all right.
There's a stool somewhere if you want to sit down. Look, down here. Back. The collection of stools around here. Thanks. Oops. There we are, William Powell. It's silly that I could not remember. And then never liked him. Mm. He always seemed too old somehow. Mm. I say I didn't like Frederick March. Oh, got back where I started, more or less. Yeah, some Jean Ravens. I saw that before, didn't I? She made to look quite glamorous there, but really she was a very plain woman, wasn't she? She was very full eyes. Smoking there, she died of cancer. Judy Garland there, very young. Dietrich. Tomato juice, water and cigarettes. That's how you keep the figure. If you live long enough to enjoy it. Yes, that was an interesting book. All the people I... £10.
I'm sure it cost a fraction of that when it was first sold.
I mean, I had a whole lot of them given to me to sell at a jumble sale, because I often used to run jumble sales.
Yeah.
And one man just took the lot. I think there were 9 or 10 of them or something.
Yeah. Because you were saying that your mother had got rid of your collection.
She got rid of mine, yes.
How did you feel? I mean, that must
have
been...
Well, I was very upset. But you see, we had war. We had to move downstairs, and my grandparents and my mother and my sisters, and I came back, so there was all a lot of us there, and we just had to live downstairs. It didn't occur to her, I think, to move all the stuff upstairs. She just threw it away. I think at one stage it was put out in a cupboard in the veranda. We had a veranda there. And then gradually it sort of got shifted. Mm-hmm. It's a shame, because my sister-in-law was very interested in film books. We used to give her film books for presents. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she still got hers. She might have, although she's moved up to Norfolk recently, and I expect they got thrown out when they were moving, you know, when you don't want to take everything with you. But she was always very interested in films. Used to go quite a lot in Muswell Hill. But she was very ill for 3 years, and so she got a gap in her film memory. She was in a sanatorium for 3 years. Oh well. Look back to memories.
Yes. I mean, it's really interesting for me, because obviously film was a big part of your life.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Especially so during the war, which is not the time you want, but I mean, it was then because we hadn't anything else. Hadn't anything else at the best of times, but I mean, by the war, my fiancé was a prisoner of war, so I had 5 years sort of trying to fill in time. I used to go to the theatre, the cinema in London a bit then, because we used to have to do night duty and go during the evening. But otherwise, I used to go around here. And I don't know that I would now, if the air raids about. I'm not so brave as I was then, but I think we just sort of thought, well, if you're going to die, you're going to die. You know, wherever you might be, you can't be sure.
Were you married just after the war then?
Well, 1946, he came home in 45. Yes. It was 6 months before he was demobbed, and we were complete strangers by then. And we both worked in the same government department, so we used to go to lunch together and that. And then there was a question. I got gratuity when I was married, because you couldn't stay on after you were married, at least not as a permanent civil servant. So you got a month's salary for every year that you've done. So we waited till August, till the year completed itself, and I got another month, I think about a month's salary. It wasn't much in those days. But we got married then in 1946. I went on working then till 1955. I haven't worked since. Aren't I lucky?
Certainly.
I get bored, actually. In some ways I would have liked a job, but you can't do it all. And I think many of these modern women who are working all the time and got families and having a woman next door is a solicitor. She's at home and now she's working from home, but she wasn't. And they had to pay a nanny and a cleaner. Either that or you've got to come home and do it all yourself. Mm. And I think that when they get older, they're going to find a legacy from all that work. You know, it's too much. And that's why marriages break up, I think. Instead of sitting down and chatting with your husband, you're rushing around doing the washing or scrubbing something or other. I didn't work. I used to make up my mind that since I wasn't contributing to the family fortune as such, I would do the things that saved money. I used to make all my own jam, and I still do, and marmalade, patch sheets. I haven't done that lately. I've decided, blow it, I've got enough sheets to last me out, and I'm not going to patch anymore. But I did, and I used to patch my husband's shirts, even the ones he wore in the garden. He said, if you keep on mending these, I should keep on wearing them. I said, well, you're not going out in the garden with your elbows sticking out. My sister used to let her husband go out in rags, and I couldn't bear that. So I used to patch shirts, you know, cut bits off the tail and put a patch on the sleeve, and darn woolies, and I used to knit all the woolies for him and my son. I don't know, I've given up knitting, but I used to. But I felt that the time I'd done that and eaten more, and we didn't have to buy fancy foods that were prepared or anything like that. I made it all myself, so we saved money on that. I felt probably wasn't any worse off in the end, and at least I was at home and I was able to mix up what I was going to do. If I didn't feel like doing any cleaning, I'd do some cooking or go and do some gardening or something. It's true you haven't got any contacts, and I find that now, because my husband was retired for 6 years and that was lovely, and he was part-time a planning inspector after he retired from the service, and we used to go out, have wonderful trips, go and do the planning application somewhere in Essex or Blackpool even, and the Isle of Wight. And then when he'd done that, we'd walk along the beach or go and see a stately home or something, and it was a lovely life. And then of course he died suddenly, and I didn't know what to do with myself. My son at that time wasn't too bad. He was working as a law reporter, and he used to sit in the court all day making notes and come home at night and type it all himself, and I used to read it through to see if it was all right, and I had company. But then he became a counsellor. I never see him now. And it's a very long day, you know. And yesterday I spoke to my next door neighbour over the fence, and I didn't go out. I was going to, but I was fiddling about and the time ran out. And I thought to myself, well, Clive came in for dinner at 6:45 and went off again at 7:15, that was it. So apart from speaking to the next door neighbour, all I had was that half an hour at drive until he came in at 11:30. And it gets very lonely, and you think, well, if I had a job, I'd have somebody to talk to. On the other hand, I've got to the stage that I simply can't rush about. Mm-hmm. I have my hair perm tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning. That means I've got to get up and get moving, because Clive doesn't go till after 9 usually, and I have it done at Debenhams. I've got to get into Debenhams. I'm downright mean. I've got a bus pass which operates after 9:30, so I've got to time it that I don't get on the bus before 9:30, but I still get to Debenhams by 10, get my hair done. It costs so much to have my hair done, I can't afford to pay the fare as well. Sometimes I drive halfway there and park where I know I can park and get a bus from there, because there's no good parking in Harrow. It costs a fortune. It's usually for about 2 hours, and that's not long enough. Mm. And it's just not worth the trouble, so I get on the bus for nothing. It's I hear old age pensioners saying our pensions ought to be put up, it's not fair, you know. They don't stop and think that the bus pass they have costs the council £90 a year, I think. So when you think you're paying a high council tax, you can knock that £90 off for a start. If there's two of you, you knock off double. And they forget that they can get prescriptions free. Go around when I go out with Clive on holiday and that, we go to stately homes. 9 times out of 10 I get it cut price because I'm an old age pensioner. Even in Switzerland we found that. Anybody over 60 got reductions. So, you know, people, they're all grasping. They all want their old age pension put up, and they never stop to think, A, that their children are having to pay for it, and there aren't enough of them about now to pay for it. And they should have saved, well, not everybody can save, I know, but there are a lot of people who could. There are a lot who spent their money on holidays in Spain and smoking all the time and backing horses. I'm being prim, I don't smoke, I never have. I was the only one in the family who didn't, everybody else did. Why I haven't died of passive smoking, I don't know, because I lived in a house that was full of it, and I worked in an office that was full of it. Everybody was smoking. You'd walk into the room, you could sort of cut the atmosphere, you know. But there are a lot of people who could save for their old age and don't. They think, oh, I'll get the old age pension. And then they moan like mad because they don't think it's enough. And they never stop to think where the money's coming from. I mean, we've always been hard up. You might think this is quite a nice house, but when we bought this, it was £8,000. £8,250. And that was, my husband nearly had a nervous breakdown. The night before, I saw the estate agent about it, because he'd been on holiday and he was coming to me on the Monday. The night before, my husband said, oh, I'm not bothered about that house if you're not. And we lived just down the road, you see, in an old Victorian villa, I think they called it when we sold it. And it was hard work, we didn't have a garage. And my sister was on the corner, and I wanted to come up here, and I was determined I was going to come, because we were in a semi-detached, and an elderly couple next to us, brother and sister, the place was filthy. And they suddenly announced they were moving. And I thought, goodness knows what we'll get there. Nobody's going to buy that. Is there any decent? And we had a path across the garden to get to theirs. So they had to go through our garden to get to their back door. And that was all right, because we always had elderly people there. But if we'd had a load of children there, it would have been pretty hectic, you know. And I didn't want to stay, I wanted to come up here. And we had that to sell. I think we only had to borrow 4,000. But at that time, on his salary, which I think was 2,500 a year, and he was a higher executive officer in the civil service, it wasn't a bad job. He was worried how we were going to pay for it, because we were coming here not knowing the new house. We didn't know what the rates would be. We didn't know what central heating was going to cost us. And we had to be careful, you know. And Clive was, I didn't have Clive till I was 39. I'd lost my first baby. And he was, got me thought about. There's a school called John Lyons School, which is known as the lower school of John Lyons. John Lyons founded Harrow School, and it's a connection with it. He could have, it was the question of going to a grammar school. I was determined he was going to do that, but we weren't sure he would get to it. But John Lyons, we applied there. We not only got him there, we got a free place, because the council used to buy a certain number of places at the school, you see, to make up for the shortfall. And he had suffers from migraine, and this was just up the hill. It was the nearest school of all. And so he went there, and thank goodness we got a free place. But we'd always had to think that time might come when he was going to cost us a lot of money, and this house to pay for. And we bought this 15 years before my husband retired, so it had to be a short-term loan. We didn't want to be paying it afterwards. So we're always careful with money, always had to be. And people sort of seem to think, oh, you're all right, you've got plenty of money. I've got a pension because he was a civil servant. And we've got a nice house because we happened to get it at the right time. I got a car. We bought the car 3 months before my husband died. We had an argument as to which car we should have. Mind you, I usually prevailed. I insisted on John Lyon's school for our son. I wanted this house, we had it. And when it came to the car, we'd had a Triumph, and my husband thought he'd have a Maestro. Well, I didn't like it because it's a hatchback. He used to grow plants for the Conservative Association and have a plant sale, and he thought a hatchback would be nice and handy, putting the plants and carrying them around. And I said, well, that's only once a year. I wanted an Orion. And I got the Orion. And 3 months later, he died, and he'd only ever done 3,000 miles on it. I never really knew what he thought about it. It seemed like it all right. But, that's 11 years old now. And we've always been quite careful. And I do get cross with people who seem to think the state should provide everything. The state is the people who are doing the work, and if there's not enough of them doing it, they're ones that are clobbered for the insurance and national insurance and things like that. They have to pay for all their prescriptions, whereas we don't. I think of the days when the National Health Service first started, because I was in the Ministry of Health, and Bevan, an hour in Bevan, was our minister, and he talked to us all about this. People were going out buying two pairs of glasses because they could get them free. They wanted a bottle of aspirin, they'd get it on prescription because it was free. Dentists were going broke because the people were having everything done they've never had done for years. Maybe it's a good thing, but I mean, you've got to stand on your own feet occasionally. You may not agree with me. I mean, I'm old-fashioned, I'm conservative, and I think people should be more careful with their money. But it does worry me, and I think it's worrying the government, and all over the world for that matter, that the birth rate has dropped, the pill's done that, and there just aren't enough young people coming on, and those that are can't get work.